is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
We're best friends who also happen to be polar opposites.
I'm a colorful extrovert rising.
And I'm a goth introvert.
We're both curious weirdos, and we both love cats.
But that might be the only thing we have in common.
We are an acquired taste. Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen.
I want to talk about whimsical words.
Okay.
Okay, because the other day I said, my mom was sleeping over and I said something, clusterfuck.
Yeah. God, I love the word clusterfuck.
Right? And she was like, Kathleen. She's a butchered language. And I'm like, Mommy, if I want to say fuck in my own home, I'm going to say fuck.
I love that when your mom is mad at you, your name becomes three syllables.
I know.
That's how you know.
Did your mom call you Bethany?
Yeah. Oh, yes. First, Bethany. Middle, other middle, last, you know, Bethany, Maggie, Grace, Watson, or whatever.
And it got me thinking, you know, I was in an appointment with my nutritionist, Rachel, and, you know, and she was asking me, you know, like, well, why didn't you, like, drink your water this week? And, you know, I have an excuse for everything.
Of course.
I was like, well, Rachel, I couldn't hydrate my body because blah, 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 blah. It was such a rigmarole.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, rigmarole?
Yeah, it's a good word.
She's like, I've never heard that word before. I was like, really? You don't know what it means? It's like, you know, there was this and that and that, and there was too much to do, and yeah, it was a whole thing.
It's like a fun, it's like a better word for pain in the ass. It's a whole process.
It's a whole rigmarole. So it got me thinking, like, what are some of the other words that when you're so used to using them, you don't really think too closely about them?
Yes.
But they are, like, really funny, whimsical, silly words. Like,
yeah.
Can you think of one that you use all the time?
I mean, I've used this one before on the podcast, but I really love the word defenestrate. Which means
what is defenestrate?
To throw something out a window. And it's like such a specific word. So I love that one.
Defenestrate.
Defenestrate.
Like, stop being sassy with me, or I'm going to defenestrate you right to the street level.
Exactly. Yep. Totally. I love the word haberdashery, and I don't often have an occasion to use it. But I used to live in a neighborhood where there was a haberdashery, and it was really nice to be able to say, I'm going to pop down to the haberdashery and get a new feather for my fedora, although I don't wear a fedora anymore. But, you know, when I did.
Yeah, I might have to have an intervention with you if I found out that you were wearing fedoras again.
Nope.
Okay. One that I really like is flabbergasted.
That's a good one, too. Yep.
Like, oh. I am flabbergasted at the gall of your, I don't know, what's something that someone might do that might flabbergast you?
I mean, the gall of your cheekiness.
Or my mom used to say to me a lot growing up, stop lollygagging.
Yeah.
Like, get on with it.
I love that one. I also really, this isn't a word, it's more of a phrase, but I feel like the phrase horse's ass needs to come back. I think it's so funny. I think it's so evocative. And
it's
also... like, it's also so hurtful, just so hurtful. It's so demeaning in a really funny way.
Because it's, you know, like, jerk is like, whatever. You're like, ha, you're such a jerk.
Yeah.
But if you're like to someone, you are completely and totally in this moment a horse's ass.
Yeah.
It's a real insult.
It feels so demeaning in a really just very funny way.
Oh, I just thought of another one. Doohickey.
I haven't heard the word doohickey in a long time.
Yeah, like, reach over there and get me that doohickey.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that thingamajig.
Yeah, it's like when you don't, you know, it's, in my family, we just call it a guy. Like, no disrespect meant towards guys. It's just like, hey, can you hand me that guy? And it's usually like, you know, a tool or a piece of wood or a utensil. And we don't really, it's just like that thing.
Oh, I've never heard that before, but I like it.
I think it's just our family's thing. Uh-huh. I've used this one less now because obviously Twitter, but I used to say all a Twitter. Sometimes I say all a Flutter.
Oh, yes. I've heard you say all a Flutter.
One phrase I love is when someone is really mad to refer to them as nearly having kittens. I heard this, I think, in an episode of one of my old lady shows. I think it was like a Marple. And a woman was like, you know, my governess was so angry, she nearly had kittens. And I think it's so funny.
It is so funny because you think of someone just being like boiling hot, red, angry, and then kittens are the complete opposite of that.
But it also, you just can picture like an explosion of frustration resulting in just kittens going everywhere and just being chaos.
Oh, one that I want to start using more again is debauchery.
Oh, debauchery is fun. Do you use the word festooned ever?
No, what does that mean?
I first learned this word when I was in the play Harvey, where I played Myrtle May, the niece, and my aunt was talking about how the house was festooned with like decorations. Oh. And it's just like things being sort of draped across, like curtains can festoon. That kind of thing. Does that, you know, like, it's
Christmas decorations are festooned.
Yes. I think about it in terms of a garland of something. You have a garland like festooned about the top of your room.
One, speaking of the theater, one that I learned from Broadway, and I cannot remember what play it was. Bodacious.
Oh, my gosh. What play were you watching?
The Full Monty. Is there a song with the word bodacious in The Full Monty?
I don't know. I was going to ask if it was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on Broadway.
No, I think they're describing a woman in a sweater. And there's like a C or B, A or C or B cup. It doesn't matter. Oh, Bethany, I am kicking myself in the face right now because that used to be like my favorite show. I can't believe.
Bodacious is like surfer talk.
No, bodacious is like when a woman is curvy, I think. Or am I totally getting that wrong?
Bodacious is like.
I'm looking it up right now on Google. Bodacious.
Those bodacious dudes have an excellent time playing games with death is.
Bodacious also can be like attractive, like bodacious. She's got a bodacious body.
I had no idea. this says vocabulary.com says bodacious means bold, audacious, and brazen. It can mean attractive and sexy as well. Wow, I had no idea.
Ooh, Bethany, you're looking bodacious today, girl.
That's so funny. I've only ever heard it in reference to people who surf.
Oh, hijinks.
Hijinks, misadventures. Wacky hijinks and misadventures are good.
Oh. Hullabaloo.
That's a good one too. Yeah, definitely.
It was an uproarious hullabaloo. Like, does that mean like it was a good time at a party?
Yeah.
It was a roaring good time.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. I'm trying to think of something else.
So many of these whimsical words are synonyms of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like clusterfuck and then kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Basically mean the same thing.
Yeah. One is a nicer way of saying the other.
Malarkey.
Malarkey is a good one. Have you heard Wittershins?
No. What's Wittershins?
Wittershins is counterclockwise. So I first read about it in witchcraft. They talk about if you're going to, you know, in some like ceremonies or if you're preparing the circle, sometimes you'll want to go Wittershins, which is like just going, but it's just a more whimsical, more, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun.
And, you know, some of these words are kind of just baked into us by our parents or, I don't know, things that we've read in books or watched on TV. Like, I just thought of the word skedaddle.
Yeah.
And I say that all the time. Like, okay, I'm going to skedaddle.
Yeah. I think it becomes part of family culture. And you may not realize that that is not a normal word to use.
Yeah.
I know that there was something in my family we used to. Oh, I was listening to a podcast, the Guide to the Unknown podcast, and they're siblings. And so often their family culture will come into the episode without them realizing it. And one of them used the phrase hopped up on goofballs, which I had never heard before. But the other sibling didn't even react. And I realized that's probably a family thing. Like, I think other people say it, but it's probably something they said in their family so much that it wasn't funny anymore.
You know what? I love this idea. Someone needs to, I don't know, let's contact someone at NPR. They need to do a deep dive into family culture and all of these funny things that families think are normal. It goes back to that thing on Reddit, the poop knife.
Wait, I don't remember. So explain.
Okay, so the poop knife.
Please explain.
Is this story where there was somebody who took a big shit at their friend's house, and the shit was kind of like so big it was sticking out of the water.
Oh, no.
And the person like opened the door and is like, "Hey, where do you keep your poop knife?"
Oh no.
And the friend is like, what do you mean, poop knife? And apparently this person in their house growing up, there was like a knife that they kept near the bathroom in case your shit was too big, you would cut it up before flushing. So it wouldn't clog the toilet.
Oh, no. I'm curious where one stores one's poop knife.
Yeah. And how do you effectively clean a poop knife before, like, is there a hook and you hang it back up on the wall?
Let it drip dry. Like, you rinse it, drip dry. Have you seen the show Jury Duty?
No, but I keep hearing, like, really excellent things about it.
So it's on Freevee, which is an Amazon product. And I binged it in one day. It's so delightful. If you don't know the premise, gentle listener, it is a show that is about jury duty, where everyone on the jury and involved in it is an actor except for one guy. And
oh my God.
He does not know that this is not a real trial. So he signed up to be in a documentary about jury duty. So that's why, like, he knows cameras are following him, but he thinks that everybody else is real too.
Oh.
And there's a slight but not really spoiler for Jury Duty, because this person is on the poster. But James Marsden is in it.
Oh,
and he plays James Marsden because he's famous and the guy is going to recognize him. And at one point, James Marsden and the real guy are in a room together, and James Marsden says that he took a massive shit and he needs help to handle it. And they cut to the toilet and they show it. And there there is a piece of solid matter actively sticking up. Like, the art direction, whoever created this beautiful sculpture of, it's sticking up out and you can see it. Awful and so funny. And you know how filled with shame I am when it comes to that kind of stuff. And the fact that I was laughing so hard because James Marsden took a shit.
It was sticking out of the toilet.
And it was sticking out like a prairie dog, looking at someone.
Bethany, I'm so welcome to my side of the poop.
Oh my God. I felt like I was peering out behind a curtain of shame and sort of seeing how the other half lived. But then I, quickly pulled myself back in because shame. But my shame. Oh my God, it's so funny.
Imagine just the physics of taking a poop that is so big that not only is it sticking out of the water, it's sticking out of the toilet.
If this had actually happened, James Marsden would have had to start elevating himself. Pose.
You have to start lifting yourself off the seat, or else there's going to be a collision.
There's going to be contact. I don't know. It should win some sort of Emmy for the art direction.
I'm wondering how these shows make money when they're on Freevee.
Ads.
Oh, okay. So it stops. And now, do you access it through a separate app or do you access it through the Amazon app?
A separate app. I just downloaded Freevee on my phone. This is not an ad for Freevee, by the way, or this podcast would be continuing. I downloaded it on my iPhone applications. And then they're like, do you have an Amazon? Cool. Sign in with your Amazon. Now you got Freevee. And I was like, great. So it's great. And they have apparently they have Shutter Island and great movies, but they do have mandatory ad breaks, which is fine because Jury Duty is made to have ad breaks. It's phased where you can tell there's supposed to be an ad break there. So it's fine. And the ads are minute.
A lot of sitcoms or, half an hour shows are written that way.
Yeah.
And I don't mind. I don't mind an ad break because I am all for being influenced. It's fine.
Sell me something. Just sell me something. I'm down for it. So, Kathleen, when you make your monthly payment for your various bills, you know what you're getting, right?
Yeah.
I pay my monthly car payment. It means I get to keep my car. And I don't know, the government doesn't take it away from me.
Yeah. And if I pay my cable bill, I get to watch The Real Housewives 24/7.
But when it comes to bills regarding healthcare, it is a nightmarish dystopia regarding money and bills. Health insurance can be confusing and expensive. Then when you actually have to use your benefits, there are deductibles and claims processes. There's other red tape you have to deal with. Yeah. You don't know how much you're getting charged for a thing, and someone else is getting charged a completely different price for a thing. Do you remember when a doctor once told me to open my mouth and stick my tongue out, and then they charged me for a full endoscopy? It was like thousands of dollars.
Yes. Bethany, I remember that. And it was just because you're going to a doctor in New York City and they're like, well, yep, if you go to a doctor here, it's more expensive.
That is why Crowd Health is here to save the day.
Crowd Health is so simple. It's really transparent and it's affordable. So as a member, you'll get a personal care advocate to help you navigate the complexities of health events. And your personal care advocate will even help negotiate bills on your behalf. And that is the most helpful thing ever.
Yeah, they put you back in control of your health care and they help you pay for your health expenses. So it's $175 a month. $40 of that helps pay for your care advocate, your telemedicine services, your discounted prescriptions, and the other tools that help you get the best care at an affordable price. The remainder of that monthly payment goes into a Crowd Health account that you own. So you can choose to help others in the crowd pay for their medical expenses as well. Experience healthcare freedom with Crowd Health. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use the code TASTE at checkout to get your first 3 months for just $99 a month.
That's joincrowdhealth.com and then use the promo code TASTE.
Crowd Health is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
Bethany, we've been working with StoryWorth for a while now, and that is because it is the most incredible service. So Mother's Day is coming up, and if you're looking for just something really unique to give your parent, StoryWorth is this service that sends questions to your parents' email, questions about their life, questions about their hopes and dreams, and really helps you to get to know your parent on a more personal, intimate level and hear all of these amazing stories about their lives that you never have heard before because you haven't prompted them with amazing StoryWorth questions before.
Yeah, you may think you know your parent pretty well because, you know, yeah, they tell kind of a lot of the same stories that you've heard your whole life.
Uh-huh.
But what if you probed a little bit deeper into their memory recesses and they were like, wait, tell me about that time that, you know, you stuffed my uncle under the deck and he got his head stuck.
So I get StoryWorth and all the questions go to my mom's email. And just a few weeks ago, it was Easter and there was a question about Easter. And I found out this really like crazy story about my mom when she was a little kid. She got a chicken for Easter. And Bethany, I know it was just like, I was like, why have you never told me this story before? And it was literally because I had never asked, but StoryWorth thought to ask. And now I have this incredible story to tell my children.
Yeah, because you would never think to ask, were you ever given a chicken for Easter? So every week they send thought-provoking emails of questions that they have, or you can also write your own questions. If you know your parents going to be on vacation or something, you can skip that week. And then at the end of it, StoryWorth compiles all of those questions and stories, including photos,
yeah,
into a beautiful keepsake book that the whole family can share for generations. I'm so excited. I still have to order my mom's. I haven't done it yet because I'm an awful daughter. But you can order multiple copies so that I can get them for my sisters as well.
Oh, love it. So give all of the moms in your life a meaningful gift that you will both treasure for years. StoryWorth.
Right now, for a limited time, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/taste.
That's StoryWorth.com/taste to save $10 on your first purchase.
StoryWorth.com/taste. So I have been to France twice, and I have gone prepared to speak French exactly zero times because I was like, I'm going to learn French. all of it. And then that felt daunting, and so I never started. And that is why I'm so excited we have partnered with Babbel, because Babbel teaches you a new language in these little bite-sized, like 10 to 15 minute a day sessions that are super easy and fun, and you sort of learn a language without realizing you're learning a language.
I like playing games on my phone, and Babbel to me feels like the easiest, most fun way to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I'm actually learning stuff. So now when I hear people speaking French in movies and on television, I'm like, wait, oh my God, I think I know what they're saying.
Yeah, totally. You can start having real life conversations in as little as 3 weeks, which is less than a month, which is crazy if you think about it. Next month, I could be having real life conversations in a completely foreign language.
And I've been planning a trip with my mom to the south of France. We want to visit a friend down there and just see the French Riviera. I've never seen it other than in, you know, old movies with Cary Grant and Grace Kelly.
Sure.
And I gifted my mom a Babbel subscription because, like, look, we can learn it together. And sure enough, she'll say things to me that I'm like, Mommy, I can't believe you're learning so quickly. She spends more time on it than I do. The other day, she was like, au revoir, Ross LaBeau. And I'm like, what does that mean? And she's like, to have a bowl full of it. I'm like, okay, Ma, like, it's just cereal. You don't need to be speaking French to me.
There are so many language apps that use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts, and they are voiced by real native speakers, not computers. So you're really getting that accent down.
With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and your accent.
And they have podcasts, games, video stories, even live classes, and a 20-day money-back guarantee.
So right now, get up to 55% off of your subscription when you go to babbel.com/taste.
That's babbel.com/taste for up to 55% off your subscription.
Babbel, language for life.
Kathleen, do you have Google Alerts set up for yourself?
Oh yeah, I sure do.
It sounds, I don't know, does it sound ostentatious to have Google Alerts set for yourself? I do it just in case, like, someone hacks the system and gets my nudes or something.
Yeah, no, I do it because anytime my name is published, whether it's about me or not, mm-hmm. I just kind of want to, like, I want to know what's up.
Yeah, you want to keep tabs on things about you on the internet. So yeah. About twice a month, I will get a Google Alert for my name. Mm-hmm. And it is never actually me. There are people in this world doing so much more with their time than I am. So I got a Google Alert this morning from the Newark Advocate.
Oh, okay.
And I have a limited number of articles remaining, apparently, for the Newark Advocate.
That is so random. Oh, my God.
So apparently, it's an article, actually, a pretty cool article about this gentleman who's like a retired engineer, and now he's going around to middle schools teaching STEM.
Oh, okay.
Because he sees middle schools as kind of the sweet spot of getting, you know, kids interested in science and technology, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But he visited a teacher's classroom in Utica, and the teacher's name is Bethany Watson. And I was like, welp, that's certainly not me. This is from the Newark Advocate, an article written by Dave Weidig.
Oh, Bethany, that other Bethany Watson is doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. The article goes, last week he was in science teacher Bethany Watson's class at Utica Middle School teaching the STEM club how to build a CD spectrometer.
There's a CD spectrometer. Uh-huh. How retro.
I don't even know. Watson said the students who come have a big interest in science and furthering their knowledge. There's also a beauty queen named Bethany Watson. And there's someone like in South Carolina who works for the public works system.
Okay.
And she's always doing new fun stuff for South Carolina.
How do I get people to write about me in the news? I guess I need to do like newsworthy things.
Either
and
that.
Not just put out podcasts about the word kerfluffle.
Either that or you need to get a PR person. I know someone who hired a PR person, even though this person wasn't really doing anything, but mm-hmm. they wanted to make sure that they were getting articles written about them. So, like, they once ended up in Do you know on People magazine, at least they used to have, like, at the end, they would have just little paragraphs about what different famous people were doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So this person I knew was not famous, but they were online, right? Oh. Quite a bit.
Okay.
And they would have their PR person who they paid. And if you have money, you can just buy a PR person. They would say they would get like a mention in the online version of People magazine that they were like doing a podcast. Or
interesting.
I know that another person I know who just hired a PR person decided to start a TV show.
Uh-huh.
So before they even started writing it, they had a PR person release the fact that they were starting a TV show. The TV show never happened. It never got written. They never moved forward with it. But the PR person released a PR notice to like people.com saying this person was starting a TV show. And it worked.
It's kind of genius.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
If only I could figure out how to be my own PR person. I don't know, maybe I would send, there's like a Hudson newspaper here in the county where I live. Maybe I would send a statement to the Hudson newspaper that I'm taking a pottery class.
Totally, completely. Like I hate to be so cryptic, but obviously I have to be super cryptic. I know someone who is an actor.
Yeah.
And And he is not well known, right? Like he's, because most actors are not well known. Most actors are like your workhorse actors. They get their jobs, they do them, they go home.
Yeah.
He somehow has branded himself as a celebrity.
Okay.
But he's not. Like and I'm like, can you just do that? Can you just do that and say I'm a celebrity and like put that in your bio?
Interesting.
And I just realized I am not good at lying.
Yeah.
I think you just have to be really good at lying.
I know. You know, they say I got this advice. I mean, I was listening to some like social media podcast and they said, change your Instagram bio every week until something sticks and you start getting followers.
You know what? I don't know, but it's true. I took a branding. Well, I took a course that had a little bit of branding in it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, brand yourself, brand your type. This was for acting. And I was like, I don't know what my type is, man. Like, I truly don't know what my type is. And one of the things they said is look at all of the auditions that you get and the types of people you're being called in for. And I did. And I'm like, it's across the board.
Yeah.
Like, I got called in to be a lawyer. I got called in to be Cyndi Lauper. I got like what I got called in to be a best friend. I got called in to be an abused wife. Like there is no similarities in anything.
Okay. So you can lean into this. I've seen people doing this thing. Hang on. Let me pull up this one person's Instagram where I know that they have something in their profile that basically means that they don't fit into any category. It's Bethany, my friend Sarah Foster Home. She's a fellow DIYer. She has on her Instagram profile, it says, no niche, comma, just me.
I think that's what I have to do because it's like, you know, if you look at, let's look at actors because that's like the world that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you look at like Reese Witherspoon, she's played a million different roles, but all of her roles are like a type A kind of perfectionist overachiever. Pretty much across the board. And that's what most actors do. Jennifer Aniston is always playing kind of like a bit overwhelmed, a little bit flighty, but like the girl you like, that kind of character.
And she's like so pretty, but she doesn't realize she's pretty.
Vince Vaughn is always playing a little smarmy or a little bit misunderstood, like your everyman.
And like kind of hot, kind of not.
Yep, completely. And it's like, I don't know. What?
Oh.
It's so weird to try and and
categorize
yourself.
Okay, so there, I can't tell you how many times I've been watching something on TV or in a movie, and I say to myself, like, Bethany, you could have played this part.
Please,
like,
tell me what roles those are.
So I'm gonna start like noticing what role it is every time, and I'll send you a text message to help you better understand yourself.
Thank you, because I have no clue, and I feel like most people, I don't know, could you categorize yourself, Kathleen?
If I were an actor, I would definitely align myself with the likes of, like, Kathy Bates.
Why?
Just because, like, you know, I'm never going to be, you know, like, the love interest or the leading lady, but I am your, like, chummy, sometimes smart as a whip, sometimes, like, very wise friend or mother or aunt or sister.
I agree. I think most people would be character actors, you know, which are awesome because you get more work. I would characterize you more in the Reese Witherspoon vein. Like, even if it's not how you feel in real life, I think you come across as very put together. You have strong ideas. You know what you want to do. Like, you're driven and maybe a bit type A, even if that's not actually how you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you would be branded.
I can see that. I would have to work really hard to come across as I really am, as you know, Bethany, a complete mess with a potty mouth who loves talking about poop.
Wait, it's so funny.
Can we talk about Katherine Heigl for a second?
Of course.
So she... I can't remember what show she was on recently, but I think it was maybe like the Drew Barrymore show. Mm-hmm. And
the show where everyone becomes Drew's best friend and they crawl into her lap and cry.
I love Drew Barrymore. I've never really, like, sat down to watch her show at any length.
Oh, she's great.
I will watch clips online. Actually, I just realized that a former intern of mine just worked on her show last season.
Cool.
And she said it was a great experience. But the funny thing is that when you work in television, like talk show television, the season wraps somewhere in April or May, and then you have the whole summer off and you don't have work again until August. Mm-hmm. And you never really know if you're going to be asked back.
Yeah. Yep.
And so... sometimes, you know, you will have moved up in the ranks and you're like, okay, I'm this level producer and I definitely will be asked back.
If the show gets renewed,
that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, when you wrap, you don't know if the show is going to get renewed. So, like, if you have enough savings, you can spend the summer traveling and then look for a new job in the fall. But it is such a crapshoot. It is a really crazy, wild world to work in.
Yeah. It's why most people in the entertainment industry are a little crazy. Yeah, like, we've talked about this before, because you just don't ever know where your next job is coming from. And... mm-hmm. I've been thinking more and more about how Devin Sawa, you said, bought gas stations. I'm like, God,
he bought gas stations. I should
invest in a gas station because...
yeah. Oof. He bought gas stations, then he jumped on Twitter during the pandemic, and he's real sassy. He's very funny.
He's awesome.
And because it's kind of funny, I feel like he can be his real self on Twitter because he owns all these gas stations. So if he never gets another acting role again, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But he actually, he's been in a handful of things lately, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, I saw him build for something, and it's really interesting what financial freedom can give you.
It is amazing. I was saying to my mother just the other day, I don't care if I never get bigger than I am now. If I can just pay my rent and work with the people I want to work with, you know, like we were just in Minneapolis shooting a short film for some friends. And
Bethany, tell us about that.
It was so wonderful. It's this film called Little Lucha and the Big Deal. It's a wrestling film. Set in the 80s, and it's the...
I saw you were dressed as a character for the 80s.
So I did, I played a mom, which is really funny, because I have to tell you.
Did you have to ask your sister for motherly advice?
Well, I should have, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So I had to play a mother to this girl who, I don't know, was 11, 12, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm not good with children. And so there was this scene where we had to be sitting at a diner booth together as a mother and daughter. And so she was already sitting at the booth. I got a couple of glasses of water so we would just have something at the table. And I brought them over and she looked up at me and we really hadn't met really before this. And I said to her, I have two glasses of water. One of them is poisoned. It's definitely not yours. And I put it down and she looked at me with like these terror in her eyes. And I was like, God, I'm not good with children. I don't know what to do.
You can't joke about poison.
No, you certainly can't. But like, it was so much fun. And the people we worked with were so incredible. And Dennis and I are still in a bit of a depression being done with that because we miss them. And so I was just like, if I only ever work with like this crew again, whenever we have an idea for a project, I'd be fine with that. But it's just the money part. That's real tough.
A similar conversation with my mom the other day. You know, she was saying to me, you know, the church is doing a donation. Like, do you have any clothes that you want to get rid of? And I was like, yeah, I sure do. Yeah. And then I said to her, you know, there's a lot more that I would get rid of, but I can't, because when you don't know how you're going to pay for something new, it's really hard to get rid of things that you can't even really use.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Like, you know how like really wealthy people, they'll donate everything they own because if they ever need anything like that again, they'll just buy it new.
They know they'll buy it.
They just get rid of everything they have. And so it's so much easier to be a minimalist when you have so much in the bank.
One of the directors and the actress I was working with in Minneapolis, her name is Scarlett. She ruined my ability to get rid of clothes in the best way because she lives in LA. She flew a steamer trunk filled with clothing to Minneapolis so that she could do wardrobe for all of the different characters.
Oh, fun.
And I was like, I am constantly told I need to clean out my clothes. And she was like, no, never, because you'll need them. You may need to wardrobe someone. You may need to costume someone. I was like, this is what I've been saying. But like, people keep telling me to get rid of my clothes. So I'm not.
You know, I also think that too, because I'm like, well, this could be a good Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. Or like, if I'm ever blessed enough to have a child one day and she has to go to a 70s party.
Like, you're 17 steps ahead of the process. I may have a child who may be a girl. Who may have a 70s party, who may fit into the clothes that
I know. And, you know, there are so many times in my life growing up when my mom started to realize that I was into fashion and clothing and stuff, where she would say, oh, God, if I knew that you were going to like this, I wouldn't have donated all of these amazing dresses that I had from the 60s.
Oh, my gosh. She just should not have said anything.
I know, because now I'm a hoarder because her voice is playing over in my head.
It's her fault. Blame her for everything.
Everything. Happy Mother's Day.
It's literally like next weekend.
Thanks for hanging out with us today, buds. You can follow me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
And me, Bethany Watson, at Ms. Bethany Watson. And you can follow this podcast. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast on all platforms.
But most importantly, check out our Facebook group. That is our coolest social media real estate.
Until next time, this is your reminder to take a deep breath. Stay weird.
And stay curious.
Hey, ladies, this is Taste Bud Corinne from Ohio, and I am extremely far behind on the podcast, but I did just listen to the one where what Kathleen had learned was that if you bury a body next to the tree will start to smell different. And it has me highly concerned because I have always planned to be buried in a bios urn, which is where they take your ashes and they put it in a biodegradable cup with a tree seedling or sapling, and you bury it and your ashes feed the tree. But now if it's my dead body feeding that tree, I'm worried that my grandkids, great-grandkids, they won't come and visit my tree because grandma smells funky. I'm really going to have to look into this. It's stressing me out. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
Hi, ladies. It's Taste Bud Janika from Jersey. I was listening to last week's podcast and this week's podcast. I had to stop this week right in the middle. I had to go because we were talking about cottage cheese, and cottage cheese is amazing. Anyway, last week, I know Bethany was talking about suffering from headaches. I've been trying, because I kind of suffer from the same thing every now and again, and maybe, you know, it doesn't matter how much water you're drinking, maybe we're still dehydrated, but try, like, a pinch of salt, either in your water in the morning, or just, like, I just, like, pick it up, put it in my mouth, take a swig of water. I've been doing that. It's been kind of helping. Try that, Bethany. Kathleen, cottage cheese, amazing. And I know you're on TikTok, so it's like you haven't seen all of the like cottage cheese, nice cream. Like all the young kids are doing it. They are doing cottage cheese now, blend it up. That you can do strawberry. That way you can have like strawberry cottage cheese ice cream, banana cottage cheese ice cream. If you don't want to do that, I haven't tried that. Cottage cheese is amazing. Good Culture is amazing, that brand. If you want ideas, I love Toasted Table on Instagram. She does amazing things with toast. All kinds of toast every day. I would do what my favorite, I like to do avocado toast with some cottage cheese on top. You could do a tomato, a couple slices of tomato, and a drizzle of Mike's Hot Honey. Life-changing, very filling, and delicious. Bye.